an effort to steal the worship of the entire world from the true God unto himself. You look down to all the world governments, you'll see that every one of them had a false religion. In fact, if you look close enough, you'll see that they all had the same one in different forms. Those of you who have been reading some of these sources and taken some of the classes will see that, although the Romans and Greeks had completely different names and figures, they were the exact same ones under different names, operating with different coats. But regardless of that, and there are many contrary religions, but that's all right. The devil doesn't, fight with the devil. He doesn't care about contrary religions. But underneath every false god and every false religion is glory being given to Satan. Through those false gods, Satan is being worshipped through the demons. For example, Brother Sumrall was in China. There was a big fat Buddha. And some Americans were there, and they was, in the American, all college-bred people look, down and see, the mythology is ridiculous. A great big old fat Buddha to worship him. And he said, you notice there was a hole at the back. It was back. And they were kind of disdaining, and I don't remember the story exactly, but it goes something like this. They were saying, what's that hole for? He said, you mean you people worship this big old hunk of stone? And the priest said, you Westerners don't understand. This is the symbol of our God. The spirits come in that hall, and they leave through this symbol. And when we worship our God, we are worshiping the spirit that's in him. They were worshiping demons. The Americans all think they're worshiping stone. They're worshiping demons through the image of stone. And because Satan is not God, he's only one spirit, only can be one place, he cannot be actively involved in everybody's worship. But everybody worshiping demons that he controls, and controlling all of them, he gets the great glory as the great grand visor and the great grand master. And in the final analogy, since they're all getting input from him, they are worshiping Satan. And every false religion and every world government has worshipped false religion, except the government of Israel in the days of David and Solomon, which was almost a world religion, not quite. Satan has had to work underground through demons, through religious forms, because most people, especially in enlightened gospel ages, will not worship Satan directly. Some will. Therefore, he works through religious forms and through the corruption of man's spirit and man's flesh. Satan has been behind every world government. That's why it's seen in the scripture as one image. The Egyptian government, the Assyrian government, which actually had its roots back in Nimrod's government, the Babylonian government, the Medo-Persian government, the Grecian government, and the Roman governments. Everyone, without exception, had false religions. They were worshiping demons through men, or through idols, or through the stars, or through something. Moreover, Satan has tried to keep world control by trying to keep men, his false prophets, in control of the world, or at least the largest section of the world as possible. He has worked through Muhammad, great amounts of millions of people in the East are under this religion of Islam. He worked through Buddha, Gautama Buddha. He worked through Genghis Khan, who from China took over the whole East and threatened the whole Western world. He worked under Charlemagne to take the world for the Roman Catholic Church and under the popes, until they controlled kings and said the popes are over kings like the sun is over the moon. And they blackmailed kings. They got King Philip of France to work against King John of England, And they got him to set big, build huge, enormous navies to invade England. And the Pope worked through this. And then the Pope went to John of England, and the invasion was threatened, and he pulled back the mass from the churches. The priest, you pull back all mass. Without mass, they can't be saved, according to their religion. And the people panicked and stormed the gate of the king. And through the blackmail, through this interdict, and through Philip threatening, John signed away England forever to the Roman Catholic Church. And then when that happened, he then caused the French ships to be all burned up so they couldn't attack England, because he didn't really want them to attack England. He just wanted the threat, because he didn't want Philip to get too strong. And through the maneuverings of the church and the various things, everything's under control. Everybody, you know, in the Catholic Church ruled those lands. He used Philip to break John, and then broke Philip to control both. And they've always done that. He tried to use Napoleon to take over the world, an atheist. You say, well, if he's behind Catholicism, and he is, why would he be behind something to take it over? Listen, he takes over one thing with another. There's no problem there. He would rather replace it with atheism, which he tried to do. Napoleon took the crown away from the Pope, yanked it out of his hand. He blackmailed the Pope into crowning him king of the Empire, Holy Roman Empire, because he took over Italy, and he yanked it out of the hand of the Pope at the last minute and crowned himself. But God brought some snows that did Napoleon in. He used the axis, the devil I'm talking about, Hitler and Mussolini, told you and so forth, to try to take over the Christian world. It was taught to the German youth that Adolf Hitler was Jesus Christ in the person of Adolf Hitler to the German youth. He's using the communists, saying that religion is the opiate of the people, and to try to bring in atheism. The form of religion is not important to Satan as long as Jesus is not Savior of the world. Because without Jesus being Savior, there will be no salvation. That's why he had the Roman Catholic Church take the word repentance out of the Bible. They've taken the Greek word repentance and they've changed it with the word penitence, which is works. Although the scripture clearly says that salvation is not of works, lest any man should boast, but it's the gift of God, it's the grace of God, it is not of works. Contrary religions are no threat to Satan, since he is glorified in each one of them, and he can control each one. Even if there's 10 going on at the same time, or 100, he is glorified through each one, through the demons involved in that religion, some way, and in some way he's stripping Christ of his glory. Satan is so poneros, as the Bible says, so wicked, that poneros means so wicked that you're not content to suffer in your own corruption, you've got to bring everybody else down with you. That's the basic feeling behind poneros. He is so wicked that he is going to spite God, he's going to hurt God, he knows he's damned to the lake of fire. He's going to get every son of God and creation of God away from him that he can. He's going to hurt God as much as he can in the process. Too many of us are dupes, allowing him to hurt God through us, through our tongues and minds that are accepting him. We need to be a lot more careful. Satan will even use religions that have Christ in them. Didn't you know that? A lot of people get really upset if you say anything about a religion that has Christ in them. That's what the devil wants you to do. He wants to feed that religion, twist that religion of Christ so badly that it cannot possibly make salvation. If you see, he has different things for different people. He can't just pawn off the same thing at everybody. And he tries to give you religion without the born-again experience. But if he can't do that, he'll keep you from being spirit-filled. But if he can't do that, then he'll bring you into fanaticism. If he can't do that, he'll bring you into legalism. If he can't do that, He'll bring you into, he'll divide you and conquer. He'll get you shifted off some way, that something that won't work properly or won't credit Christ properly. He'll do something. He'll find some way to dethrone God in some way, or to hurt the cause of Christ, to take some glory away from God. If you, for example, in the Roman Catholic Church, he will teach that Jesus Christ has to be obedient to his mother. In one of the prayers, Mary, mother of God, she's not mother of God. God didn't have a mother. Lay thy maternal commands upon thy son. She has no maternal commands upon Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. She was only son of the flesh, not his divinity. She has no maternal commands. That's blasphemy. And don't you dare pet that doctrine. Blasphemy puts Jesus Christ, who is more than a man, who is God manifest in the flesh, under a human woman, and makes her then a goddess. And there isn't any such thing. Just read a sign on a woman's t-shirt the other day. Had a bun t-shirt, so there were signs on them. It said, "When God made man, she was just kidding." One of the new teachings about in women's liberation is that God, make God a woman. Why should we make it masculine, you chauvinist pigs? I want to let you something know about some of these terms. Chauvinist, pigs is a communist term. Colonialism is a communist term. And all the spirit-filled Christians want to use communist terms. I refuse to use these terms. I know where they came from. I won't align with their damnable doctrines. Or he'll see that you embrace a religion that says that Jesus was just a good man. He wasn't born of a virgin. He wasn't God. He was just a good man, to dethrone the divinity of Jesus Christ himself, which is a lie. If Jesus was not God, he was the world's worst imposter and an evil man that caused millions to die for a lie. That smart aleck university teaching is absolutely, totally incongruous with all logic. If any person, junior high school age you up, would ever think through such a stupid premise, they would see that it is self-contradictory, could not possibly exist as a logical premise. No man doing and saying what he did and claimed could ever be called good if he was not God. Or he'll see that Jesus is made equal to Buddha and Confucius and others, like in the Baha faith. And that's being promulgated in our universities too. Equal with other religions. Until such a day that Satan can replace Christ with Satan himself through the Antichrist. And that's what he's intending to do. Someday the religion that he's using and will use in the world government, world council of churches, will be burned. I read that to you last week in Revelation chapter 17, that the 10 kings shall burn the great hall, that great religious system. He uses her to corrupt the world and then burn the very system he uses. That's what the communists do. If the communists use anybody to go in and take over a nation, become a big wheel, they almost always execute that one they use to get done, lest he become too great and powerful and give them trouble. Satan was eventually going to hate even the name of God in that. In fact, one of the leaders of the World Council of Churches suggested that we abandon the term God for 40 years and as an experiment. What kind of stupid philosophy is that? God wants to control the world through his anointed. Satan wants to control the world through his anointed. God made Abraham rich, and a father of many nations, and wanted to use him to have godly control over the saints of that age. God made Joseph influential in Egypt, that he might be able to save his people and exercise a godly influence. He made Moses king. Deuteronomy 33:5, in case you don't know that Moses was made king. Scripture says so. that Moses might be the leader of a great nation and influence them for God. God made David and Solomon great so that they reigned from the river of Egypt to the river of Ethiopia. And all nations were in tribute to them, including Assyria, including Egypt, including Babylon. All those nations were in tribute to Israel, which was the greatest nation on the face of the earth. God made Christ great in an antagonistic world. Though he was not a prophet, nor a son of a prophet, nor a priest or a rabbi, nor from Judah, he made thrones follow him until he could no more walk openly in open places, the scripture says, until even the Jews said the whole world has gone after him, and all Jerusalem is filled with his doctrine. God made the United States of America and Europe great because of the Christian influence and the Christian people that were in those lands. Well, all the rest of the world was far inferior and in paganism and heathenism, false doctrine, because the light of the gospel was there. And this nation, breaking away from the hand of Catholicism and legalism in Europe, became greater yet under a more conservative and evangelical ministry among the Congregationalists and the Quakers, so forth. God will rule one day through Christ in the millennium. And God will rule in Jesus Christ, which is the form of God visibly, but you can't see an invisible, omnipresent spirit excepting in Jesus Christ, who is the image of the invisible God forever, and who is God in the form of man, that we might see him. Not limited, not a piece of God, but he is God. And he will rule through him forever and forever and forever in the new earth. There's a great battle for souls of the world going on. These souls were created by God for God. But Satan wants to take them and have them serve him. God says, now see, Satan knows they're not going to serve him forever, because Satan knows when he's in the lake of fire, he is no longer king. Satan will not be king in hell. Let me get you straightened out right now. Some people think that Satan will be king in hell with the demons, and they'll be laughing at the Christ and so forth. They will be weeping and crying more and groaning more than any other one in hell. The scripture says about Lucifer, the nations to say, hast thou been brought down to the sides of the pit and become weak as we did all that has weakened the nations, become like us? He shall be nothing in that day. Everyone in hell shall hate him, because that's the reason they're there. And those demons shall have not a friend, for everyone has damned those souls, and they shall be hated of all people, and they shall be least of all. He won't be king in hell. He can't rule over them then. He's just trying to get as many there as he can, just so he can stick his tongue out at God, so to speak, and hurt God as much as he can. Now, God says, that is, his word says, I'm going to bring you here is scripture, although I read the scripture last week. You can choose the tapes out and listen to it again and look them up and read them carefully. God says that the world government in the last days shall be ruled by one man who is called the Antichrist, and under him there shall be 10 kings which shall have received no powers yet, and they shall have no kingdom, and they shall give their strength and power to the beast, this world government, who has the mouthpiece is Satan, who shall rule for 42 months, which is 3.5 years. Now, these 10 ruling powers who have no kingdom, they are not the governments of Italy and Germany and France and so forth, like a lot of people say. They have received no kingdom. They give their power and strength. These are the internationals. These are the international Jews. These are the insiders. These are the world government, one worlders. There's a lot of different names given to them. You say, oh, are you an anti-Semitic? No, I'm not an anti-Semitic. I may be of Israel myself, to one of the last 10 tribes that's scattered down through England and America. I don't know. You, a lot of you all think you're Gentiles, but you're not. Some of you are from Israel. But that's not the point. In Christ, we are all of Israel in Him. The point is, in Jesus Christ and Abraham and all and Peter and Paul, all were Jews. So how could I be against Jews? I'm not against Jews. But Jews have rejected Christ. And those that have rejected Christ, in fact, in the days of the apostles and right afterwards, they scurried to find wood to burn Christians, to help the pagan Rome. They didn't just stand by and watch pagan Rome burn Christians. They gathered wood. They turned them in. They eagerly sought to destroy Christians. And God, because of the covenant made with Abraham, has allowed them to be wealthy and rich, and they control much of the world. And they have a very antichrist, that is a certain core, or very definite use of Satan, like Judas himself. And they just happen to be in this position. They have no antagonism toward the nation or the Israel or the race or anything at all. In fact, Israel again one day shall become, in the millennium, a mighty, marvelous nation under God again. And northern and southern kingdom, the whole kingdom shall be. And we shall be reigning over the earth. The scripture teaches that. And so we shall reign over them. And we shall be involved in, and they shall be mighty and great in the earth in that day. God has made a covenant with Israel until the times the Gentiles come in. Then, as written, all Israel shall be saved. Romans 11. Also, that in the last days the world government shall have, it will be a world church. And he talks about a city reigning over the kings of the earth, and he calls the world church a harlot, which was drunk with the blood of the martyrs of the saints, and a city which rules over the kings of the earth. There's only one city that's ever ruled over the kings of the earth, and that's the Vatican. And then that's why I'm worried about a lot of the charismatics going back to Rome. And this last world government is not the Catholic Church, it's the total Catholic, Protestant, atheistic, Christian, that whole bag of corruption together shall make up that last world church. But the Catholics shall have a large part in it. It shall have a false prophet, according to the scriptures, the last half of Revelation 13, verse 8 and on. There shall be one churchman, shall rule like a pope, one false prophet, and he shall not take glory to himself, but he shall point to the Antichrist and that world system. There shall be a world superman as a mouthpiece of Satan, the Antichrist. Arthur Goldberg in the United Nations said, what we need is a world superman. Came out of the mouth of our American leader in the United Nations. We are looking for a world superman. And one day they shall find him. He's in alive in the world today, someplace. Probably a mystic man of the East. But he has to be a Jew. With world power. He has to be a Jew because he never could sit finally in the Holy of Holies in the naos or the inner sanctuary showing that he's God. Christ come back if he's not a Jew. You can't pawn an Irishman off as a Jew. It shows that the world government will have world power like the United Nations, the world police force. It said, who should be able to make war with them? And it says, no one. They'll have all the control in their hands as sort of a NATO force. The world will have financial control. Great World Babylon in chapter 18 has become fabulously rich. There should be like a world bank. We've already have a world bank, you know. McNamara is the head of it. After what he did to the Edsel and then dismantling the country, well, then they make him head of the world bank. With world government control, Bible says you can't buy nor sell unless you've got the mark of the beast or the number of his name. Revelation chapter 13, last verses. It says you have a world religion control. They shall worship all whose names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life shall worship the beast. Revelation 3, about verse 8, and there somewhere. With world deception through drugs and religion, as it says in chapter 18 of Revelation, all nations deceived by pharmakia, pharmacy. That Greek word is drugs in connection with religion. Isn't it interesting that we're seeing the whole world go into drugs and in a connection with false religion, the occult, in this very day in which we live? God says, concerning watching the signs of the times for this world government and the coming of Jesus, to watch Israel shoot forth. In 1948, after nearly 1900 years of not having the Palestine as a land anymore, they became a nation. He said, watch the other nations shoot out green branches. And we're seeing something we'd never heard of when I was a boy. Something you, most of you never heard of when you were young, called the Third World. New nations are being formed. And we're finding the Arabs are taking fantastic control of great money, and there's new things developing, new nations, new twigs are coming out of the tree. God said, you watch that. You watch Israel, and you watch the nations, and when they begin to shoot forth, he said, no, the end is near, and this generation that sees these things shall not come to pass until all be fulfilled. We are going to see the wrap-up of the entire ages in our generations. We cannot afford to sit sleepy and let things rush on to the end and climax. This is why we are so desperate to get the work of God done before the curtain of night falls upon the earth. This is why we're so desperate to become the bride of Christ and be ready for the out-translation. As Scripture says, to pray always, you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and stand before the Son of Man. Luke 21:36. The United States started out a very small, poor country, hacking away out of a wilderness, a few pioneers. But they came with faith in God and a holiness in Bible matters and Bible faith, and fighting out of the iron hand of the Anglican Church of England. And God made the United States a powerful, wealthy nation in 200 years until we have controlled the entire world with our wealth. Everything's based on the U.S. dollar. And at the end of World War II, having conquered the Axis in the East and the West, we had the mightiest military and financial force and base in the entire world, and yet our country was unscathed with bombs. And we stood as world predominant. But then Satan began to move in, and there's been a constant chipping away ever since. God made it world leader, but what happened? The United States apostatized. In the church, there became a world church and a national council of churches and a liberal church. And they began to cut away and undermine the word of truth. Strip it of all the virgin birth. Strip it of Christ being God. Strip it of its miracles. Strip it of everything. And begin to pet sin and introduce the world and the occult and everything else right into the church. And as the church goes, the nation goes. And this nation is going down the drain until we can't even control, can't even defeat a little country like Vietnam or Korea, the mightiest nation on the earth. 1/10 of our military force, starting when we had World War I torpedoes that wouldn't even, half of them wouldn't fire. The springs were so old and they couldn't shear the shearing pins, and we trained Marines with broomsticks and World War I helmets to start, and Japan had been building for 40 years. Pacific after World War, after the Pearl Harbor messed up our battle wagons and our cruisers in the harbor and wrecked our Navy. We defeated Japan with 1/10 of our forces and with the other, that mighty Axis force in Europe, in a number of years. But now this nation can't seem to do anything anymore. What's happened? This nation has introduced the occult and drugs. Every bookstore you go into is full of the occult. Every high school, every junior high school is full of drugs and the occult. What has this nation done about it? Almost nothing. How much pleading, how much teaching do you get on television by a worried president of the United States that this nation is coming into sin and corruption and we must stop it at all costs? You never hear about it. We have become a babbling of religions. This nation now stands for freedom for Satan, and they're proud of it. Oh, you have a right to worship Satan if you want in this country. This is a Christian nation. God said in his kingdom of Israel, there shall be no occult in my kingdom. Every witch shall be burned. If there is a witch, they shall be burned, that lest they corrupt the nation with demon worship. And this nation goes, ha ha ha, nickel, snickle, snickle. You know the Salem witch burnings, ha 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 ha. Back in those days, you're blind. Look how blind they are. Witches, witchcraft, everywhere. While they laugh at God's laws to get rid of demonic forces. Blind leading the blind. Freedom for witches, and they're proud of it. Freedom for sin, and they're proud of it. Television shows in which you take a single man and a single woman. When I saw that, I was shocked. Dating game. Blind. Which person's going to take this girl down to Lake Tahoe and sleep with her for several days? Everybody claps, but she got him. Adultery. They should take them both out and stone them. According to the laws of God, this nation's in a terrible place. Freedom for adultery and fornication. We call it liberalism instead of degradation and sin and anti-God. Freedom for rebellion. Freedom for homosexuality. Alternate lifestyle. They have their rights. Had a government worker tell one of our people in our church when we said this young girl was having a lot of trouble with lesbianism and this type of thing, and she doesn't like it, and we've been able to help her, and we want to be able to keep her in the home. And the government worker got very incensed and said, she has a right to have lesbianism. You have no right teaching her against it. The person says, well, she didn't want it, so if you have no right, we don't want to give it to you, because we want to give it to somebody that gives her a right for lesbianism if she wants it, even when she doesn't want it inside. That's what we're coming to. Freedom for sodomy. They say, well, it's nobody else's business. They call them adult movies instead of filthy movies. Sinful. They have a right to, if they want to, with a consenting partner. Whatever happened to God? Whatever happened to one nation under God? It used to be in this nation, even in the if you swore, if you cursed on the streets of Oregon, they would arrest you. Now the President of the United States curses openly, mass media. Cursing filthy things come out of what out of the television, newspaper, mass media. They'd arrest you and haul you in. They wouldn't take such a thing. It used to be that if a man ever caught anybody in bed with his wife, he'd shoot her, and the judge would say that serves him right. Justified homicide. Not any longer. You even beat him up and they might throw you in jail for beating up somebody who's taken your wife. This nation is in trouble. And it's going under. They've forgotten God's word. Satan will use, therefore, the wealth and power of the United States government for world control. There are a lot of Christians in this country that are absolutely, totally duped and brainwashed and think the whole world will come against Armageddon except the United States. We're a Christian nation. We'll come and we'll help out God. No, we won't. Look at this nation. This nation is becoming one of the most sinful nations, doing things that cause the pagans to blush. This nation will not stand for God. It'll stand for Satan, and is standing for Satan. That's why God is going to take a people out of it. This nation is not on the side of God. It has thrown that away. This nation is already deeply involved in world government. I want to read you a few quotations. This comes from Brzezinski, the National Security Advisor to President Carter. U.S. News, World Report, 5/30/77. First of all, pretty much everything the President has done in the field of foreign affairs since January 1977 is the product of a deliberate planning exercise. It is our view that we are now at a stage in history in which the United States again has to undertake a creative process of building a new world system. That's a National Security Advisor. U.S. News and World Report on President Carter. 6677. President Carter is charting what he views as the most far-reaching reform of American foreign policy since the 1950s. His basic aim, build a new world order. Henry Steele, Carmichael. Declaration of Interdependence, World Affairs Council of Philadelphia, 1975. The document, Declaration of Interdependence, was written by Mr. Carmichael for our bicentennial celebration and for the propagation of a one-world government. It was signed by the following U.S. political representative and senators. And there's 94 names I have here, like Adlai Stevenson and so forth, are on this list. Mr. Young and so forth. All have signed this for the propagation of one-world government. Two centuries ago, our forefathers brought forth a new nation. Now we must join with others to bring forth a new world order. To establish a new world order, it is essential that mankind free itself from the limitations of national prejudice. Now, do you know why this country is undermining our national securities and allowing international things and footing with the communists? They themselves are sold out the United States. They are not United States people. They are one world people. That'll answer a lot of questions as to why are we doing a lot of things. And acknowledge that all people are part of a global community. We affirm that the economy of all nations is a seamless web, that no one nation can any longer effectively maintain its process of production and monetary systems without recognizing the necessity for collaborative regulation by international authorities. We affirm that a world without law is a world without order, and we call upon all nations to strengthen and sustain the United Nations and its specified agencies and other institutions of world order, and to broaden the jurisdiction of the World Court. They're acknowledging that the United Nations World Court, all these things are part of the plan for world government, and that they may preside over a reign of law that will not only end wars, but end as well the mindless violence which terrorizes our society in times of peace. To end wars. Who shall make war with him, the scripture said to this beast. Elmo Roper, past president of the Atlantic Union Committee. The first step toward world government cannot be completed until we have advanced on four fronts: the economic, the military, the political, and the social. It's a all-front move. By chance, the economic came first, and this was a very positive step. The military has now come next, and what is a necessary defensive step? And that is a necessary defensive step. The political must come next, and the social will follow the political organization. Such an Atlantic Union would be a member of the United Nations. Dr. Harlan Cleveland, Ambassador for North Atlantic Treaty Organization, NATO. We need a new standard of minimum human needs. He was the same one who advocated distributing U.S. wealth to the world. That must be our new philosophy, new theology, if you will, coming in with a new international economic order, even calling it a new theology. Henry Kissinger, former Secretary of State. The United States is seeking to move beyond a balance of power in East-West relations and is seeking long-term cooperation in North-South relations with a view to building a genuine world community. It is our goal to establish a loosely knitted world government before the end of the 1970s. It must be recognized that in the field of foreign policy, we will never be able to contribute to building a stable and creative world order until we first form some conception of it. So we're getting together loosely first. Institutions based on present concepts of national sovereignty are not enough. The West requires the constitution of an Atlantic Commonwealth in which all people boarding on the North Atlantic can fulfill their aspirations. It will not come quickly. Many intermediate steps must be traversed before it can be reached. It is not too early, however, to prepare ourselves now for this step beyond the nation state. Also from Kissinger, all Europe will become Marxist within a decade, and the Israelis do not appreciate that I am the real savior. I'm purposely reading a little fast because of my time, but how many say I'm reading too fast to understand properly? Help me out if I am, so I'll slow down. Shall I slow down? How many say yes? Okay. Just a few. Arnold Toynbee, historian. Our goal should be the political, economic, social, and cultural organization of the human race into a single worldwide society, living under a single worldwide government. The task of the present generation is to put the out-of-date sovereign national state in its place. William Fulbright, U.S. Senator. Indeed, the concept of national sovereignty has become, in our time, a principle of international anarchy. National sovereignty become international anarchy. Our survival in this century may well turn out to depend upon whether we succeed in transferring at least some small part of our feelings of loyalty and responsibility from the sovereign nation to some larger political community. Walt Whitman Rostow, author, United States in this World Arena. It is a legitimate American national objective to see removed from all nations, including the United States, the right to use substantial military force to pursue their own interests. Since this residual right is a root of national sovereignty and the basis for the existence of an international arena of power, it is therefore an American interest to see an end to nationhood, as it had been historically defined. An end to nationhood. This is what our leaders are leading us down to and are advocating. It's the road they're leading us down. I would like you to turn to the book of 1 Thessalonians and the Holy Scriptures. See what God has to say. Look at his quote. 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5. We'll give you a few moments to find it. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. He's writing to the brethren now, notice. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. Now, how many of you have heard your ministers or some minister teach you that the saints of God, the elect, will have no way of knowing when he's coming because he's coming to them as a thief in the night? How many have heard that of some of ministers someplace? That is contrary to the express passage of the scripture that I'm reading you. Check me out just by common English and see if it is not correct. He says, you have no need to know. He said, the time and the seasons you have no need to know, for yourselves know perfectly that the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. Now, he will come as a thief in the night. The only question is to whom. For when they, you notice in verse 1 is ye and you, and verse 2 is yourselves, but in verse 3 we switch to they. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. You ever heard of SALT Treaty 2? Now 1 and 2, and now they're trying to get 3. Communists have broken thousands of treaties. They've broken every treaty we've ever given with them, including SALT treaties. We're trying to keep more and more and more. We're working for peace and safety and no wars. I heard Roosevelt say, after World War II, during the World War II, that all American soldiers should not have died in vain. A war to end all wars. That was said after World War I. It was said after World War II. It's being promulgated again. And as soon as they say we've got it now, peace and safety, be well, sudden destruction shall come upon them. All of a sudden, they're going to find out where the power lays. And you've all disarmed, and the world arena of power, as they use the term, has got all the military might. I remember reading some time ago when the admirals were very upset in this nation. They said all aircraft carriers are average 17 years old. That was many years ago. And they said we either need more carriers or less water. And McNamara said, you're not only not going to get more carriers, and you're not going to get any nuclear carriers you ask for. In fact, we are going to mothball some of the carriers. In fact, we are going to strip the Navy of a lot of its power. We have no money for nuclear power. And what we do build, and if any time, will be non-nuclear. It was only a month later, I think, that I read that we proposed 40 nuclear ships for NATO at U.S. expense, and McNamara endorsed it. No money for the United States, but plenty for NATO. U.S. expense. Putting it in a collaborative force, but not in our hands. That's where they want the power. That's where it's going to be when the beast, 10 kings give the power to the beast for 1 hour. Let's continue here. Verse 4. But ye, notice how he uses the word but and comes back to the pronoun ye. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Doesn't that clearly say he's not coming as a thief to those who know him? Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, to the judgment that's coming, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, whether we die in Christ or whether we're still remaining to his coming, we shall live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another. Time's upon us. I want to read two paragraphs from a book that you're all familiar with, I assume. None dare call it treason, by John Stormer. Do you know where the title of that book came from? How many do not know where the title of that book came from? Let me tell you. The second highest KGB or spy in the Soviet Union. That is, the second one was one over the entire Soviet spy system. The second man said to his boss, just before he defected to the United States, why is it that the United States catches so few of our spies? We've got them everywhere. He said, we would catch them if they were in our country. And the grand boss said two reasons. One, we've got so many in the United States that when they catch a few, they think they got them, they all dance around and do a jig over it. And secondly, and most importantly, we have our spies in such high governmental positions that none dare call it treason. And from those words, he had the briefcase that he brought with him when he defected. Was the briefcase, is the information, contains most of the information of what we know about Soviet spy systems, or the briefcase he defected with. He said there's such high places that none dare call it treason. Example, J. Dexter White was appointed by President Roosevelt as the assistant treasury, the assistant treasurer of the United States of America. He was the one who shipped printing plates to Russia without permission until they printed so much paper money, they were afraid it was going to ruin the American dollar before they finally got a hold of it and got it back. And nobody could figure out how it got out of the United States, who authorized it, what happened to it. And he was trying to load Russia up. We were already giving them fantastic amounts of materials and everything else and monies. And that man was caught by the FBI. He was brought before the Supreme Court. He was found guilty by our Supreme Court. Yet when the finger of Joseph McCarthy was pointed at him as a communist, Eleanor Roosevelt jumped up and said, that's not fair. He is one of our best friends. Roosevelt himself said, Mr. Roosevelt himself said, well, I may disagree with the communist system, but I have many communist friends. Which I can believe after how he sold us out at Yalta. And Adlai Stevenson, who engineered the United Nations with Rockefeller money, who provided for it and bought the building and the whole premise, if you don't know about that. He attacked Senator McCarthy, but the Supreme Court found him guilty and found the FBI had him nailed every which way. Same way with the Rosenbergs, I saw big long lines around the post office saying, "Save Rosenbergs." They caught them dead, and hung them, executed them one way or another. I'm not sure if the electric chair or hanging. They executed them. Communist spy. We've got him in the very top position, secretary, so forth, down the line. Interesting that when President Kennedy took office and had something like 256 appointees, and when J. Edgar Hoover would bring the FBI in, the FBI always routinely goes through and checks security to every person appointed. J.F. Kennedy said, "Don't you touch one of those. I'll personally vouch for each one." Would consider a safety of a president to have his appointees checked. But he said, "Nothing doing. You leave them alone." You know what's happened right now? That's another story further on, when the FBI is not going to be able. The FBI doesn't have the power anymore. Neither the CIA. They have been belittled, kicked, and brainwashed until they've been able to use that in order to strip power, make the American people think that you don't dare have these big monsters. They were our security force that were protecting us. And now they've stripped them of power. They've been lying to you, my friend. I've got a set of works that long, paper, and longer than that, and notebooks full of these reports we've been saving and having people cut out and paste and so forth for years. And in a college library, a lot of them. Stack them about that long. Now, Senator Joseph McCarthy has been discredited horribly ever since he was accusing communists. Movies are made about him, television things, and in these they have Senator McCarthy going off the deep end, accusing people that should not be accused. He's been called a false accuser and just wildly calling everybody communists. Do you want to know the truth? The truth is, Senator McCarthy was a true American, one of the few we had, who was super careful to have all the facts before he ever accused anyone. And he never accused anybody of being a communist, that it couldn't be proven, and he had all the facts and had them dead to rights, because he knew very well, by all the anti-communist brainwash and the powers, he knew what would happen if he ever accused anybody of being a communist who was not. He had the goods on him, solid, before he ever accused a soul. It has been twisted and has lied about that man. He has been defamed. Interesting enough, Adlai Stevenson, Mrs. Roosevelt, and others who were found wrong by our own Supreme Court have never been put under, and he has never been exonerated. Although the FBI and the Supreme Court of America found that Senator McCarthy was right, and Roosevelt and Adlai Stevenson and all the other attackers were wrong. Our liberal press is lying. I have a document I didn't bring this morning. I'll bring it next week. Well, historians are worried because we are purposely, through television and movies, distorting history. With MacArthur, with Eisenhower, with Roosevelt, with McCarthy, and so forth, purposely distorting history and getting away with it because it's only a movie. And they're becoming very concerned about it. People have been lied to. Now, I come to the middle of my sermon, but I've got to close because my time is up. Which means I won't get into next week's specifics. I'm still on this lesson. I never can get as far as I think I can get. I didn't even get a chance to read these two quotes. But I will next time. And I'm entering a section that I've called Plan for World Government. I've got a long list of how all these things hook together, and it'll be an overview list of the plan for world government. It'll list all these things you've been reading about all the time in newspapers you're very familiar with, and I'm going to list those whole things, how they all contribute to world government. That's as far as I'll get next week, I'm quite sure. I'll just take that area of it. And then we'll get into some more specifics. It'll be a few weeks yet, I'm not sure how long. I have got some data that is going to really be interesting to you about energy that I am anxious to bring. It's going to be a real eye-opener. You remember when I mentioned to you something about sabotage of Three Mile Island? I've got new information now that's better than what I had before that nails it down. And I'll be bringing that. That was a purposely staged affair, in case you don't know it. We've got some new information that nails that down. I hope you find this interesting. This is only outline. This is only foundation introduction this morning. But if you stick with us, I'll build it and build it and build it. I bought the scriptures, and now I'm bringing this foundation, and then I'll sort of put it all together just by listing it all, and then I'll get into some details and show you the bully boys behind it, show you the insiders, who they are, how what they came from, how they are working, and how they control the U.S. government, why they're working as internationalists, and why they're called internationalists, and how they're using energy and other things to bring this world into a world government. See, all these things are happening, are not accidents. It is not all this, all these Americans on the streets, you know, that are all saying, well, we should have voted him in instead of this person, and this and this and this. Everyone has been contributing to the very same thing. It's a very large, comprehensive plan in which everything you're reading, including the year of the child, is all operating toward one collective goal, and Satan is the mastermind on the drawing boards behind it. You may stand. And we're not even going to close the service in prayer, altar call, or anything. I'm just going to let you go immediately, but the altars are open for anyone who wants to pray. If you want salvation, if you want Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you come down to this altar right now, if you will do that, we'll be happy to meet you. If you need prayer for healing, deliverances, and so forth, along the sides, there are signs there. Altar workers will meet you there. If we can be of any help to you, we'll be glad to do that. God bless you, each and every one. Remember the service tonight.